I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ladies and gentlemen, man, it's a special occasion going on here, man. The guys are back, man. Guess who's back, man? It is your boy Scott, your boy Mariano in the house, man. The Third Pick Podcast after a 3-year hiatus. Ooh. And we didn't even know it was that damn long.
It's been 84 years.
It's been long as fuck, man. We started this podcast like the season after Zach LaVine came. His first full season with the Bulls. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we know his injury shortened season when he came back. And I just, you know, with a mix of us being busy and just being fed the fuck up with the team, like after a while, it was like, nigga, I don't know what else to say about these bum ass niggas. Like,
it wasn't really much to say. And as you guys can see, like, we never stopped, you know, collaborating on podcasts. Yeah. It was just like, well, let's not talk about them niggas that play over there. We're going to talk about everything else. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like, damn, like the chemistry or none of that. Like, this is the shit that we wanted for this podcast, though. Right. The feeling that we got right now,
is what we talked
about bringing it back, is the feeling that we wanted in the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, so we out here. We out here, man.
We back. And for those who don't know, because of course, last time we recorded, that was the first year of Barber's Chair. We weren't even 1 year old yet. Barber's Chair was what, 8-9 months at the time? Yeah. We've expanded a lot since then. We've had a lot more shows.
Yeah, y'all killing shit. Y'all love. I ain't gonna lie, man. We do the Rap Names podcast, of course, on Count the Dings, on Bomb, and we always give people their flowers. And like, I want to give you and everybody over there their flowers, because I remember when you first hit me up years ago and was like, bro, top of the year, we starting this Barber Chair Network shit. Like, I want you to contribute. And I was like, yo, whatever you need. And to see y'all go from an idea and like that stage to where y'all at right now, like, that shit is inspiring, bro. Like it truly is. Like, you know,
I appreciate
the fact that I could just reach out to y'all niggas and just be like, hey, what up? And just have a regular conversation with y'all building something that's going to be fucking legendary. Like, that shit is crazy, bro.
I'm always available to the guys. The rest of y'all niggas, I'm changing my number. As soon as, you know what I'm saying? Niggas got Soldier Field parking passes now. Niggas. It's different. But yeah, it's just, and I like to thank Amazon Studios. The idea for Barber's Chair came in a meeting with me and a whole bunch of old white people. And I'm like, you niggas don't get it. And I was like, I need to start my own shit, man. So for everybody who joined us in this journey the last 3 years, we're going to give you a little reintroduction about what we're doing. Of course, you know who I am. You know who Mariano is. We are diehard Bulls fans, man.
Yes.
We're diehard Bulls fans. Now, y'all see the shit I go through with the Bears every fucking week. Y'all know the White Sox are in the middle of a pennant chase.
Hey, the White Sox putting you through it. My bang on line. If you ever had the question what sport Scott loves, just check his Instagram. When you see the dots come up, and tell you this, you're going to get Saweetie going to be on there somewhere.
Oh, for sure. Right? For
She's going to be there somewhere. And I appreciate you for that, brother. You know, I won't be posting things. yeah, I appreciate you for that. But it's like 90 White Sox slides before you get to that. And I'm like, yeah, baseball is back. Because, yeah, Scott is on some shit, man.
I've been waiting. It's kind of like with the years we've been going through with the Bulls. Like, the White Sox have been ass 95% of my life. Like
a two-pack ass.
They won the World Series on my 17th birthday, so that will never get better bigger than that. But we finally, our rebuild is finally at. So as we're recording this right now, I have the game on Blue Jays and White Sox on my phone as I'm going back and forth between the rundown. So yes, everybody knows, but as big of a White Sox fan as I am, the Bulls. I'm a bigger Bulls fan, but people don't be knowing because them niggas have been ass for so damn long. Yeah. So basically what we're here to do is to give y'all a weekly breakdown of what's going to go down this season. This is more of like a preview episode. You know what I'm saying? Once we get closer to the season, we'll have more episodes. But right now, we're just going to reintroduce everybody to what we're doing, talk about the moves. And for those who don't know, the third pick made the earth sick. That is when Michael Jeffrey Jordan got drafted.
Yes.
For those who don't know.
Yes.
That's what you need. That's why we named this podcast Third Pick. So
yes.
What are you excited about to get into this season?
I mean, honestly, I'm excited about basketball again because like the Bulls have this weird way of like controlling how I feel about basketball in general. Mm-hmm. And so it's like when the Bulls aren't good, I try to trick myself into being like one of them old niggas, like, man, the league ain't shit no more anyway.
All them niggas shooting threes.
Yeah, man, I stopped watching when Jordan left, man, when Kobe left, man, when, you know, and that just wasn't true because I still love basketball. And real quick, my son knows exactly what basketball is now. Like, I was watching The Last Dance earlier for like the 250th time.
I don't know what I watched more, that or Avengers Endgame, but both have been very, very fucking hot.
Listen, my nigga, so I'm watching it and he was like, daddy. And he was like, ball. And I looked. And it was, you know, it was Mike on the court. He was, I think Mike was doing the, I don't know what he was doing at the moment. It might've been like when it was like the Dream Team shit or something. You know what I'm saying? Like it was something. I can't remember what it was, but my son said ball and and I looked at it and he was saying basketball and I was like, oh shit. Like, cool. Like, yeah, this is what I want. Cause I'm excited for basketball again. So I'm just excited to see the Bulls play, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to see how we look together. We got a team with talented players now. Like, finally. Not just like marginal guys who you think can come along, you know, at certain points of the season. These are like legit guys, established guys. And I'm just excited about basketball in general.
Yeah, and I think the thing that kind of like, you know, we were all excited, you know, when we got to go back to All-Star Weekend.
Absolutely.
All-Star Weekend 2020 to me is a special event to me because it's the change. It's a turning point, and not just Bulls, but I kind of feel like in life, like before COVID, you know what I'm saying? That was the last pre-COVID event I went. I was the last sporting event I went to that I didn't have to wear a fucking mask. So that event in general is like a watershed moment. And then also it was a watershed moment for where the Bulls are right now. We were stuck in mediocrity, Jim Boylan era, Garpack still around. And when I went to the rookie sophomore game. I know it's World USA, but I'm still forever called that rookie sophomore game. And I walked in there, it was cold as fuck. And I just, the energy, I was like, damn, nigga, I haven't felt this energy in the United Center in a while. Nigga, it felt like a playoff game. You know what I'm saying? To see all those people in there. And then, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, the whole weekend, it was a great weekend for the city of Chicago. You know, even though it was cold, it was a great weekend. Everybody enjoyed it. You saw even some of the all-stars. James Harden, the party king himself, tweeted, oh, Chicago lit. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, we know Zach LaVine was on First Take the day before. Yep. And the whole crowd just booed Garfax. And, like, you could really see what was going on. I think that woke Michael Reinsdorf off. I mean, woke him up. And including that with The Last Dance, knowing about our history of the Bulls, it was just perfect timing, man. And then we saw they finally got fired. Arturas Karnasovas was hired. Mark Eversley was hired. Now, it took a couple months before Boylan got fired. Eventually got fired, and we got Billy Donovan, man. That just was kind of like a snowball of things, man, for us to get where we are this year. And just to see the overhaul, like even when we did one of the last Ball Don't Lie episodes this month, I mean, this year, me and you both said that, yo, I think it's going to be a huge roster overhaul.
Absolutely.
I don't think outside of Kobe White, I think Kobe White, of course, Zach was traded for him. People who have to draft it, Kobe White, and of course, Laurie's in limbo. We'll talk about that later. There's really no Garpax guys on this roster anymore. It's a whole roster built after the AKME brand. And I think that's something exciting.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. You know, and just to go back to your point about All-Star Weekend in Chicago, we kind of talked about that around that time, and it was like, this is making people on the outside look at Chicago way different, because for the longest, it's been like, yeah, the culture in Chicago as far as Bulls basketball hasn't probably been the best, and players around the league do talk. We all know that. So nobody wants to go there. And so when you get that tag on you, it's like being called lame. You can't shake that. Somebody call you lame. It's like, you can't prove you're not lame, because the more you try to prove you're not lame, it's like, look at this lame ass nigga. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just kind of what our franchise was. And it started at the top.
Yep.
You got AK in there, right? It's immediately the vibe changed. Every single thing changed around it. And All-Star Weekend just was kind of like, yeah, you know what? We're gonna set this shit way into motion right now by letting people know that when you come to Chicago, when you visit Chicago, think basketball too.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't be an afterthought. We one of the most historic franchises
in NBA history.
In NBA history, bro. Like, that's the reason why The Last Dance is what it is. You see those jerseys, those are Bulls jerseys, bro. You can't erase that. They can't erase what we was, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We were kings. Man, we was kings.
We was kings.
And so now you look at where we are now, right? A year plus later, and it's like this is a completely different team. Not only is it a different team just by the players, you know, the names on the back of the jersey, it just looks different. It feels different. The social media team is moving different. Like, it's just a different thing, bro. It seems like we finally got with the time. Because for so long, this shit felt like we was using old computers with the green text on it.
I swear to God.
And the rest of the league had MacBooks. Now it's like, nigga, we got a MacBook too. Now let us work. You know what I'm saying?
And I think just in general with that too, it's like, you know, you had a whole generation of kids who, they don't remember anything but the LeBron era. And a lot of don't even remember the LeBron era. If you look at half the motherfuckers on NBA Twitter, which is why I don't argue on NBA Twitter no more. These niggas was like four when LeBron was drafted. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a video I found on YouTube last week about this kid who finally watched the Michael Jordan highlight tape. And he changed his mind that he decided that Jordan was not a GOAT. And these are like plays that you've seen in NBA and NBA montages literally for the last 20 years. He act like he've never seen this shit.
My stomach hurt, bro.
I'm talking about the move on Sam Perkins, all that shit. The nigga act like he never seen it. So for to have a generation of people who didn't think about the Bulls as anything, and even if you look at the Derrick Rose years, when we made this conference finals, that was 10 fucking years ago. Now, as you think about it, it feels crazy to say that.
That was
10 years ago, bro.
That shit hurt.
I was 22, bro.
You know what hurt worse? You know what hurt worse than that? Than it was 10 years ago? Is remembering that we had Keith fucking Bogans.
Keith fucking Bogans as your starting fucking two guard. Man. And just like you said, it's like we were moving, we were like a desktop computer.
Dog.
Everybody has a Mac, iMac, Pro, all that shit. And if you look at the United Center in general, when I went last year for the All-Star game, it was the first time I've been there in like a year and a half. And the last actual Bulls game I went to was like, it was Bulls Heat. It was Dwayne Wade's last game at United Center. And let me tell you right now, the loudest applause that came from the crowd that night is when Khalil Mack was put on the Jumbotron. And he had only been a Bear for like 2 months at the time.
Hey, well deserved too. Yeah. Shout out to Khalil Mack.
And that tells you how bad it was.
Yeah, that's like, nasty right there.
Like, I never heard that intro music, which is the greatest intro music in sports, and it just didn't feel like anything, man. So to have that feeling back and to have these guys, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball. And one thing I loved, I don't promote other podcasts on here that's not us or the homies, but there's a podcast, I'm not going to say the name, y'all gonna have to search it yourselves. There's a podcast that DeMar DeRozan is on, and he says that, you know, what brought him to Chicago was Lonzo Ball. He said he felt Lonzo has a great potential, he hasn't been tapped yet. And he said that Zach had been recruiting him. Zach and Vooch had been recruiting him. Of course, Vooch is his teammate from USC.
Yep.
And he said, that's what made me want to come there. He said, yeah, I could have easily went to the Clippers. That would have been an easy thing to do. He said, I want to build something back in Chicago, bring the energy back. Of course, DeMar is in his 30s like us, so he remembers when the Bulls were fucking good. And he's like, I wanted to bring that energy back.
Absolutely.
And that's what you loved it. We've never heard players choose us.
Like,
when I heard that story from Chris Haynes say, oh, the Clippers were literally on their way to DeMar's house, he told him, nah, y'all niggas good. We're usually the team that's being told you good.
We usually the team that's not even in consideration.
Right.
To be honest with you, we not even the nigga that's double texting him. We the nigga that we know she got an iPhone, but the shit showing up green for us. Like, what happened?
What's going on here? We the niggas who send the DM and it says sent, and it stays on sent. That's who the Bulls are, man. So
yeah,
for us to finally be chose, man. I like it, man. I like it.
I absolutely love it. And I was just about to say what you said. Like, I'm not going to promote another podcast that's not us, or like you said, or the homies. But I peeped that same conversation, and also, you know, DeMar went into kind of explaining, like, of course, you know, you see Zach, right? You see Zach over there. You got Lonzo, who potential isn't even reached yet, you know. But then you got, like you said, you got Vucevic, where a lot of times basketball players talk about teaming up in the summer. and they sound like the greatest, you know, teams ever assembled, yeah, right?
But how many
How many actually do it? And he was like, he really wanted to do it. Every time they would speak, even when they played against him in Orlando, when Vooch was still in Orlando, he was like, hey, you about to be a free agent soon. Let's try to do something. So he said when he saw Vooch was over Chicago, he was like, damn, like, let me keep my eye on that situation. We bring Lonzo in, and it's like, yeah, it's a done deal. So the one thing I like about what we've been putting together is what Lonzo said, which I think is the most important thing for this team moving forward, is that we wanted Lonzo for what he can do. We didn't want him for some shit we can make him into, or like, yep, something that we think he can be. Is he said that the Bulls were the one team that has been eyeing him, and they wanted him for who he is. And you know the one thing about the Bulls over the years, the one thing we used to excel at was having the perfect player on the board available for us and not getting it. Whether it was like Eric Gordon 10 years ago, Amari Stoudemire, yeah, Joe Johnson, whoever it was, and it seemed like a perfect fit, we would be like, oh yeah, you know what? Give me this instead, though. Like,
the only person I feel like, of course, there's the Carmelo thing, and real niggas know why he didn't come. It had nothing to do with basketball.
Oh man, yeah.
Real nigga, I don't blame.
Shout out to Melo. I don't blame you.
I don't blame that nigga at all. But yeah, man, it just feels good to finally be chosen, man. Let's go over the additions, man. Okay. This year, of course, the Bulls have signed Lonzo Ball. It's I don't know the exact numbers. I'm finna be a nigga. I'm just gonna go off the top of them.
I think it's like three years,
$84 million, something like that. DeMar DeRozan has a four-year deal, but I think the fourth year is a team option, I think. They signed Tony Bradley from the Philadelphia 76ers, which is good bench depth. Alex Caruso, man, the Caruso.
When you niggas thought that y'all wasn't going to hear Caruso again since he left L.A.
You got to deal with it.
Yeah, it's the Caruso again.
It's the Caruso, man. He's four-year, $37 million. A little pricey, but you know what I'm saying? One thing I said about these deals and just with NBA in general, when people say something is overpaid, it's always about what the market is. You know what I'm saying? It's more about what the market is. You know what I'm saying? Look at Jared Allen. He's got $100 million.
Yeah. Bro, the man is a champion, bro. Like, you know, and I know we kind of get, whenever it's like a white nigga that could hoop, it's always like whatever he does is going to get blown up because, like, people are in on the joke. Alex Caruso can actually play basketball, bro. He was my whole point about loving that addition. I don't want to say more than any other one, but I loved it because we addressed a need with a quality player. He can come in with that second unit and keep shit clicking like the starters never left, because I seen him do it multiple times in LA. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he
I watched a lot of Laker games being out here in LA, and I see his impact. You know what I'm saying? And that's somebody, Laker fans were tight that he didn't come back.
Absolutely they were. Like, they was like, wait a minute, where he go? And it's like, the Bulls, like, oh, shit.
I had one of my homegirls texting somebody, y'all don't deserve him. That's how I know the Laker fans.
That's how, yeah.
And they got a team with Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, and they ain't mad that Caruso left. So that tells you everything you need to know.
I'm telling you, man.
And Chicago fans, we love Brian fucking Scalabrine. He didn't even fucking play.
Hey, you know, shout out to Brian Caruso. Scalabrine, dog. My man,
the white mamba.
My dog, Brian Scalabrine, got a video out there right now. He's telling all you niggas out there who think that he's trash or the 15th nigga on the bench is trash. You can't beat me. Yep. I know you can't. And I know we call people trash all the time. It's just.
But tough. I always say, like, when I say trash, it's trash compared to other NBA players.
That's all.
Because
we're intelligent, right?
Yeah.
I know that without you even saying it to me. But people on the internet are like, well, what do you mean he's trash? He's like, bro, we know what we're talking about. But there are some people out there who really believe, can beat Brian. I can score a point in the NBA.
You're not scoring a point. Probably not. These are some of the greatest athletes on planet fucking earth, man. So those are the four signings for the Bulls so far. Now the Bulls still have three roster spots. Now I do the hesitation on Lauri Markkanen. We'll get to Lauri in a minute. A lot of it has to go with the tampering thing that's been going on. We under surveillance right now. Like the fans watching.
Yo, what we gotta do? You know, make a $500,000 without the FBI catching feelings. Like, what's up, man?
And I think that's what's having a hold on the Lauri Markkanen situation, because I don't think they're letting them do signing trades for the moment, because we still have three roster spots.
You know why I got faith in this? Because
AK got them Serbian shooters.
Not even that. Because in order to poison, you got to face your poison. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to, it's a message in that. You know what
I'm saying? You came out your mother's womb, you're a poison. And anybody don't get that reference, man, y'all gotta see that video. Listen, Swiss.
Man. Yeah, yeah, nah. Swiss made money cash holes, man. That's a gem.
And then Nori was like, that's hard.
He said, that's hard. Like, Nori, come on, dog.
Like, come on, you said some bullshit, man.
Angela, you even, I mean, we'll get it, but anyway, but yeah.
So what's your favorite signing out of all of these?
My favorite signing is DeMar DeRozan. I'm not gonna lie. It's okay. My favorite because Lonzo felt like it was a layup. It was a layup. It was like, you have to get him. We've been attached to him for like, I want to say like a year and a half.
About a year and a half, yeah.
Yeah, about a year and a half. And I was like, if we can get him, I'll be cool. Even if all we came away with was Lonzo so far, I would have been cool because like, yeah, we addressed the need. The DeRozan thing, so it was my favorite because like you alluded to, the Clippers were on, they were in route. Yeah. We lose that every single time because we're usually not even in the conversation. So the reason why it's my favorite is because like you said, he chose us. You know what I mean? And that's my favorite thing about somebody playing here is that they want to be here. So when you want to be here, that effort going to show. You understand? Like, you know, and DeMar DeRozan is a hell of a player, like always has been. So
he had a great season last year.
Yeah, absolutely he did. You know, and I'm not expecting him to come out with something to like necessarily prove. He's established already. He's, you know who DeMar is, but it's my favorite pickup because he actually wanted to be here. And that's something I can support that 100% always. I don't care win, lose, or draw, bad shooting night.
You
bad
chose
defensive
to be
night.
In. We fucked with it.
That, and when I fuck with it, that's it.
My favorite is Lonzo. And I say that because to me, DeMar was just kind of like the cherry on top. You know what I'm saying? Like it was something that really wasn't discussed. Kind of came out of nowhere.
It
like we've been linked to Lonzo for so damn long. And the number one point problem on his team last year was point guard. You know,
steady
God
point
bless,
guard play.
Steady point guard play. God bless Kobe. He's not a point guard, though.
Yeah, he had his moments when he could score, but it's like you could see the lack of playmaking. Yeah. When Kobe was out there, because Zach would still have to go out there and kind of create for himself.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kobe. He's a great second unit guy.
You know, he's also, you know, I feel like he's more than Lou Williams mode. Like his job is just to score buckets. He's going to exceed that role.
I like him on this team. I want us to keep him.
Oh, for sure. And he's going to miss the first couple, I think like the first month with that, you know, because he's coming off surgery, you know. Ayo, DeMunsu.
Oh, man.
We got to talk about Ayo.
Ayo, man.
Chicago
kid,
the crib. You know, funny thing about that draft, there's two drafts this year. Of course, my quarterback, who, of course, you know, you're a Michigan guy, but my quarterback, Justin Fields. there was two drafts. I didn't watch either draft. Like, with the Bears, y'all heard that story a million times. I'm not going to tell it again. But with the Bulls, it was the same thing. We were actually recording summer sessions. And we was, you know, we still gonna draft. Like, damn, Ayo ain't been drafted yet. Like, yo, could he fall to the crib? You know what I'm saying? And when he fell, as soon as we were like one pick away, I was like, AK is gonna take him. I said, there's no way AK is not gonna take him.
Man, I was so happy that he did because like I had a group chat that was going off. Like, so was my man Kev. He's a Bulls fan like me.
Oh yeah, shout out to Kev. Like, I follow him on Twitter too.
Oh, you do? Oh yeah. That's my dog. That's my bro, man. Kev was in the group chat. He was like, in all caps. He was like, Mari. It's about to happen. We about to get him. And then as soon as the pick went through, he was like, we got our boy. And I was like, bet. Like, that's all I wanted. That was a solid draft for us, man.
And the crib loved it. I love the reaction to this draft party, man. I know a lot of homies out there who look. The thing about Chicago is a big-ass city, but it's small. If you're in the black circle, everybody know each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't know them, then you just been in the house all damn day. Like, definitely niggas I knew. You know, Ayo went to Morgan Park High School. My cousin went to Morgan Park High School. My cousins went to Morgan Park. I actually tried again. They ain't let me get in. They sent my ass to Cary High School. But I tried to get in Morgan Park. They didn't. But Morgan Park in the Hundreds of Chicago, that's where, you know, Ayo went to school. Well, and Ayo, I dreamed that whole year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shout out to University of Illinois. I had a lot of great nights there in college.
I bet you did. Nights. I bet you did.
Shout out to them U of I women out there.
Oh, boy.
If you see Taylor Rooks, and you know exactly U of I was like that. Back in my day, and there was a lot of Taylor Rooks out there.
Shout out to Taylor Rooks, too, real quick. I want to say this. For anybody who's never met Taylor Rooks in person.
I have not had the pleasure of meeting her yet.
I met her in person a couple years ago in New York. We were doing a live show for Count the Dings, right? And I met her in person. She has, like, a legit aura around her. Like, I'm dead serious. She does. She has an aura, but she's not, like, she doesn't make it seem like you can't approach her. It's just that you have to approach with respect.
Yeah.
And good energy, you know what I mean? Like, that's the aura she gave off to me. And I was standing right next to her. We was like sitting there joking and laughing, and she was like, yeah, you know, you did your thing up there on the stage. Like, she's very, very down to earth. Like, she's a great person.
She has that, like, she's beautiful, but, you know, you can still talk to her.
Absolutely. Like, she, it make it seem like y'all went to high school together when you talk to her. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, something. You know what
there's
I mean?
Different, like, there's different auras, too, because, like, yeah. I met Drea, and that's the finest woman I've ever met in my life. And it wasn't that aura. Drea. It was just like, man, it's a bad bitch.
It's different. Like, yeah, right. Yeah. With Taylor Rooks, it's like, you can, you, this is something special right here. You know
I didn't,
it is.
I didn't meet Rihanna, but I was 10 feet away from her.
That's you enough.
And I was like, it was like, it was, she just had this goddess aura. Yeah. Like, I knew I couldn't even look in her direction.
You could, probably couldn't even hear nothing else while you was looking at her.
First of all, I don't know how the fuck me and Pav got in her birthday party to fucking begin with, but yeah. That was one of the early LA days. And I remember that day, it was her and Nipsey. Where okay. Nipsey was in the club. Nipsey was like him and like a couple of guys.
Oh, all nigga, I you saw, need to go write a book, nigga. What you doing on this podcast? Man, go write the book, nigga.
All I saw was Rihanna, nigga. And I was like, oh my God.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to Taylor Rooks, man. Shout out to U of I.
Always shout out to Taylor Rooks.
So yeah, so seeing that run U of I had last year, it stood out. And of course, he did the iconic picture of Kobe, you know what I'm saying, with the trophy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I just think he's gonna flourish. I think he's gonna have a real opportunity in the first month to, you know, get some tick with Kobe coming back from
absolutely.
That injury.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to that. But back to the Lonzo thing, I'm excited about that because point guard was our huge problem last year. And Lonzo, to me, is a guy who I've been a fan of since he was in UCLA. You know what I'm saying? Being out here in LA, I've been, you know, on Lonzo for a while. You know, he was that Lonzo that year UCLA was cracking. Like, you know, I'm a Russell Westbrook used to come to the games. Kevin Love used to come to the games. And this is when I was working. And UCLA, like rocking the UCLA area. So I was around when it was going on. And just see, I never feel like he got there was too much pressure on him on the Lakers because he's the hometown kid. And I thought it was going to work more in New Orleans more than it did. You know what I'm saying? And but it's lots for Zion wanted him back. You know what I'm saying? And for him to come here, and I think, you know, we haven't had fans united in 2 years. That first Lonzo to Zach Oop is going to have that.
Listen, Oop. Dog.
The top gonna come off.
Listen, dog, that shit gonna go so crazy, man. For real, like seriously.
And the UC hasn't felt like the madhouse in such a fucking long time.
I gotta go up there for a game this season, man.
Yo, we gotta link up for a game.
We have to, you know.
We gotta link up for a game.
We gonna coordinate it. We gonna coordinate that.
We definitely gotta do that, man. Because it hasn't felt like the madhouse in a while. People forget that. You know, A-Ball's talking about the Garden this year. A-Ball, oh, look how loud the Garden was. You know what I'm saying, during that playoff game, but. United Center is one of the loudest arenas in the league, too. You just got to give us a product, man. And I think just more than anything, this fan base has just been fed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, shout out to my homies, the Bigs. They've been covering the Bulls the last couple of years. And, you know, Bulls games are always sold out, even during the baby Bulls there. But over the last couple of years, niggas just stopped coming. You know what I'm saying? Niggas just stopped coming. And so I think this is going to be a new energy that's going to be injected into the city, into the team. This is and just on a broader scale, this is an exciting time for Chicago sports, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think this is the first time in my life where my three teams were at least worth the damn. You know, and so with the Bears, we've got our quarterback. White Sox, World Series contenders. Yeah. With the Bulls, we got an interesting team now.
I'm not going to lie, bro. I'm not going to lie, dog. Like, I'm not mad at Justin Fields, bro. Like, I'm not a Ohio State guy at all. I never will be. That's
we need to call my brother on here. He one of them men, one of them guys.
That's how I refer to them. I always will. It's just what it is. I'm a Detroit nigga at heart. But I'm not mad at it because, like, at the end of the day, like, that's a black man. You know what I mean? It's a black man. It's a black quarterback, and I know what that means for the city of Chicago. It's the charter franchise, and I understand what that means for not only the fan base but just for us. Like, that's representation. So it's bigger than like. Me not agreeing, like, whatever, the school he went to. That's just whatever. That's just banter. It's just banter. Like, but shout out to Justin Fields. I remember I texted Scott that night of, and I was like, yo, you welcome. And he was like, yo, I'm not going to slander the Giants.
I'm not slandering the Giants no more, dog. I appreciate y'all niggas for real, man. Y'all
I put the call in for him, dog. I was like, yo, man. I said, look, man, my man Scott, I'm going to just tell the story right here on the pod, man. I ain't want to tell it. I ain't want to reveal it.
Got to tell him the background.
I'm going to tell the background, dog. Like, I saw Scott. Scott was like, look, just Justin Fields dude in college, he's killing shit. We need him on the Bears. And I'm like, I'm seeing how the season's shaking out. And I'm like, man, I don't know if they're gonna be high enough to draft, you know, homie. He might go high. You know what I mean? I don't really agree with it. We might go high though. I don't know. A little bit of hate because he was from that school, but we're gonna talk about that. But as the draft, you know, draft night, I'm gonna fast forward to draft night. I was like, you know what, man? My man Scott deserved this, man. It's a good dude. It's a good dude right there. You know, that's my guy.
My guy.
Put the call into the front office. I said, look, man, Philly about to pull some bullshit. They're going to take the receiver. We ain't going to speak his name. They're going to take him. I'm going to tell y'all what to do with that pick, right? Trade that to Chicago. I know. Listen, trade this to Chicago. Let them get their quarterback. We going to be good. We going to still take, you know, we going to take a gem, a hidden gem later. But let them get their quarterback, man. And they was like, yo, you sure? Then I hung up, you know what I'm saying? And then it happened.
Everybody in Chicago, make sure this man has a free drink every time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Man. Thank
for
you.
His contribution.
And I love y'all pizza too. I don't know why people slander that shit, but that's whatever. It's beyond.
You know, it's
me.
Funny. I love Detroit pizza too, though. Like Detroit you, pizza man. Is underrated, man. Detroit
Did we
pizza.
Just become best friends? Like you know
Detroit. I love Detroit food though. And I haven't been to Detroit in like a decade.
Oh man,
you know what I'm saying? Like Coney Island. I was last food, time I bro. Went Coney Island.
Please don't remind me.
The sweet water wings, oh, nigga. Stop. I know. Oh, stop. I know, man. I got family in the D, man. My auntie stayed off 7 miles.
Oh,
bro.
My God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I remember that. I remember those nights.
I got to go back up there. I got to go back home soon to get some of that food, man.
I haven't been in a decade because last time I went was like 2000. Actually, 2010 was the last time I went because it was Jay Cutler's first season with the Bears. I never forget. I came for the finale against the Lions. My auntie bought the tickets. We drove there, and yeah, that's how I remember. But yeah, I much love to the D, man. I love the food, bro. Out there in Detroit.
Absolutely, bro.
But we talk about what Justin Fields do for the Bears. What are these signings? What is the signal for the future of the franchise? I think there's one criticism. There's been a lot of bullshit criticism out there. Uh-huh. And I'm glad DeMar DeRozan has been talking about it. Like, man, this bullshit. People ain't never hooped. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Yep. But everybody's acting like, especially Nick fucking Friedel. His hating ass, man. He's talking about, well, they stuck themselves into a mediocre team, which you're not seeing the vision. Because what you don't understand is these are all team-friendly deals.
Yep.
Like, let's just say the next 3 years, this doesn't work out the way we want it to. You can get rid of DeMar, Lonzo. You can get rid of all those. Vooch's contract comes off the books. And guess who's a free agent, my nigga? Them Serbian Connects, nigga. The MVP, Jokic. The man who drafted him. And I think the thing was single signals to this more than anything. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and say this is a team that's going to win a championship. I'm not going to say that. But be competitive right now. While you're rebuilding the culture, and you got a guy in Zach LaVine who I feel is a superstar in the making. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you finally get some talent. And then also, it's changed. Now people are looking at the Bulls, other free agents. Oh, look at the NBA. The NBA is either clearing cap space for the upcoming free agent or having assets for the next disgruntled superstar. We now have assets for the disgruntled superstar.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why you have to be. Even look at the Nets and look at the Clippers. The Nets and the Clippers were both playoff teams before they got Kyrie, Harden, KD, PG, and Kawhi. They were both playoff teams.
Yeah.
They created that culture
and
attracted that talent. We can do the same thing. And now on top of that, we have a bigger franchise than the Nets and the fucking Clippers.
We have a fucking history.
We are the Chicago Bulls. When niggas see that logo, man, they know what time it is.
This is what I'm talking about. And that's my point. Like, we're the Bulls, bro. I think that's been the most frustrating part because it's like,
we've been moving like the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. Niggas don't, we are the Bulls, bro. Like, you don't, the 90s, this is what, people call that the golden era of basketball.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It was our decade, bro. Period. It was our decade. I don't want to hear nothing about that.
We have a 10-part documentary on us, my nigga. Only other teams got some. The Lakers are biting our swag with their little 10-part documentary.
Yeah, like, you know.
We didn't done that. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to make that logo relevant again, man. Yeah. I think that it's now, I feel like everything is on the table. And the best part about this is AK and Mark Eversley, and I want to continue to shout out Mark Eversley because I feel like we get
absolutely
lost
shocked
as
Mark
Bulls
Eversley.
Fans and we give AK a little bit too much love and we forget this nigga's still the fucking general manager. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
one of the few black general managers in the league, and his relationship with DeMar, he one of the people who helped draft DeMar, was vocal. Like the thing they said, I think DeMar's agent said, if you want to holler at DeMar, you got to go to LA and see him. Mark Eversley was on the first plane out there. You know what I'm saying? So
period.
We gotta give Mark Eversley more love. Shout out to Mark Eversley.
Shout out to Mark Eversley always.
You know what I'm saying? It opens up a whole bunch of possibilities. And they did this with no cap. Like, They were working around
as the kids say these days, no cap.
As the kids say, no cap.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And so that shows you what you think they're gonna do when they have money to move.
I love it.
To me, sky's the limit, man, for this team.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's one of those things where it's like, at the least, what you did was revitalize a fan base that was looking for a jolt for so long, because the Bulls fans never stopped supporting, and you can tell that because Garpax was, listen, we suffer from what's called GPTSD. It's Garpax, that's what the GP stand for in that. But we still kind of scarred and we still kind of broken from their tenure. And we didn't expect nice things to happen for us. So when we start seeing nice things happen, it's like we have to remind ourselves that we deserve this shit, bro. Like, we're the Bulls. We should not have a Christmas game. We should not be on primetime more. You know what I mean? Shit like that. But this is what's going to return us to that, to prominence. You know what I'm saying? Like, we will be back because they put a team in position that it's like, all right, cool. We rolled this team out here. Like you said, let's say 2-3 years down the line, it didn't work the way we wanted to work. We can, okay, cool. Whatever the batch of superstars is around that time, we put ourselves in firm position for those superstars to look at what we built on and say, I want to go continue to build on that because these guys put together a great team. Like, you have to know that players look at our team and say, wait, they got Lonzo and DeMar and Alex Caruso in the same summer? Like, nah, there's something going on over there. I need to go see what's up, at least, at the minimum. And that's all I wanted. All I wanted was our name to be in the conversation
and to be watchable
bro. Like, and not watchable because I'm a fan and I want to just get mad. I mean, I admit, like, it's a lot of like
mass. I get mad at all my teams, man. Don't pay attention to any of my in-game tweets.
Oh yeah, no, 100%.
If you read my White Sox tweets, you'll swear we were 10 games back behind 500.
You would think that I hated. You would think that I was a fan of another team in the NFC.
I swear to God.
If you watch me tweet about the Giants, like, there's people who know me. When I tweet about the Giants, they text me and be like, "Yo, you good?" Like, and I'm like, "I'm straight, bro." But just this team, they do it, you know. And
Pappy said it best. Pappy said, he said, "Man, I could be reading Scott's tweets and I go check the Bears score and they only down by 3."
Nah, dead ass though. He said. I remember he said one shot to Pappy. I remember one time he said, he was like, "Damn, man, the Bears was getting their ass whooped. Scott in there going crazy. Y'all was down by like 3 points." And he was like dead ass 3 points. And he was like. But that's the because you've seen
that out of us, man.
Seen that 3-point thing happen so many times, you know that you could lose by that 3. You know what I'm saying? But with this Bulls team, I'm optimistic, and I think that's the first step towards happiness is optimism. That's what I think.
100%. That's what you should always have as a fan. Now, before we get to how we think this team is going to play on the court together, I want to talk about the tampering case that's going on. Let's talk about it. That criminal Adam Silver is trying to get out of it.
You rascal.
Right, exactly. He's a suspect. What did Umar say? The NBA is a goddamn suspect. So,
as my daughter say, he's sus.
He's sus. Yeah. So, you know, and what happened was the Lonzo deals weren't literally the first deal to get officially announced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know tampering is something that always happens. And they just decided to pull up on the Bulls and the Heat. The Heat signed a trade with Kyle Lowry. Both are being investigated. I think we're going on like week 3 now, as we're still waiting for a decision. Now, all NBA insiders have said trades are not going to be reversed. Mm-hmm. But if there is guilt, that there's probably going to be a big fine and a couple draft picks being lost. But joke's on them, because we don't have any first goddamn rounders any fucking joke's on you. So I kind of feel like it's petty. I feel like it's petty because this is one of your big franchises. Mm-hmm. Let that shit ride. And on top of all that, everybody tampers, bro. Like, LeBron had lunch with Russell Westbrook the week before the trade happened. Hey, y'all not to, like, Nate was tampering on the Anthony Davis
shit. LeBron might be the king of tampering.
He's the king of tampering. And it's like, if you don't want this to be a thing, then take away the dumbass they can't talk to this time rule. Let's just make it what it is. And I feel like they're being picky with this, and also I think it's because Adam Silver likes to fuck with Pat Riley. If anybody else know what happened with Pat Riley back in the 90s with the Juwan Howard situation, a lot of kids might not remember the Juwan Howard
situation. Man.
That was a little different than this because more of a salary cap issue.
He went back to
Washington because the investigation took too long and his contract was valid, that was, you know, was null and void. He's trying to get his money. He didn't feel like waiting for the shit to happen, so he went back
some to bullshit, Washington. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a different situation, but still, I just feel like it's petty, man. It's just like, hurry up with this shit and let's just get to it, man.
I'm gonna give you two reasons why this happened, right? And I'm gonna put you at ease, right?
Number one
with the Heat. Pat Riley looks a little bit too much like Jimmy Conway from Goodfellas, played by Robert De Niro, right? He looks a little bit too much like him. And it's like, whenever you come across somebody like that, you got to question what's going on. So I can validate that one. And number two, and most importantly, it could have been number one, Biggie voice. Adam Silver probably looked up and was like, Lonzo went where? That nigga's not going to the Bulls. Yeah, right. Like, what they did for him? Nah, there's something going on over there. Like, truthfully, though, like, that's the first thing that came to my mind was, like, he going to the Bulls. Like, nah, what did they do?
Investigate.
He did something wrong because the Bulls ain't did this in I don't know how long. When is the last time, off the top of your head right now, when is the last time there was, like, an attractive free agent on the market and we got him? Like,
Never, man. I'm gonna keep it real because a lot of people keep saying Dennis Rodman. Number one, that was a trade. Number one, and not only went to the trade, Dennis Rodman's value was so fucking low in 1995 that all the Bulls got rid of was Will fucking Perdue.
See, and that's the part that people don't ever realize about that. Like, it's not about who he was or who he ended up being. It's about at the time we traded for him.
Niggas just fed up with Rodman, bro.
That's what he was on his way out the league. Let's be real.
David Robinson wanted him off the Spurs, and they was like, "Look, we'll just take."
And that's David Robinson, bro. Yeah. Like, who do you know what I mean? So I think that's what it was with Adam Silver, just to shoot him a bit, you know, some bail a little bit. He probably was like, "No, man, niggas not going to the Bulls. They did something illegal." You know what I'm saying? Like something, but. Yeah, like you said, joke's on you, dog. We don't got what you looking for. So
exactly. And it's just like, you know, I saw a lot of Bulls fans panicking when it first happened. They're gonna rush. I'm like, nigga, they're not nigga. First of all, Rich Paul will, by the way, I'm not saying anything bad about Clutch ever again. We Clutch Mafia over here now, nigga.
Clutch Mafia.
They would raise hell. And you can't do that. That would set off so many, and since it was a sign and trade, that would fuck up so many players' money. You know what I'm saying? So that to me was never a possibility. But to me, it's just like, you're just wasting fucking time, man.
I think what it is that, like, the NBA, because we all know that since, like, for however long, the NBA has become an all year round thing.
Yeah.
I think that you just not need, it's like
ever since
soap
the Heatles, I feel like.
Yeah, basically.
The decision made it 12 months.
Absolutely. That's a good place to put the marker, right? So ever since the decision, which is what, about 11 years ago now, something like that, over a decade. Which is crazy,
bro. Yeah.
But I think that you need to add little wrinkles to the story where it's like you watching All American and it's like, oh, this new nigga just popped up, but he got a story too. That's just kind of what it is with the Bulls and the Heat tampering case. It's like, it's just another wrinkle in the story. It's a soap opera. You know how it's going to end. None of this is going to get reversed or nobody's going to really face any crazy long-term penalties behind it. But it's just kind of like a necessary evil. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even trip. I didn't lose one wink of sleep over it. I knew that everything was going to be good. We was going to be legit. But I also just kind of used my brain in these situations. And I'm like, come on.
Well, I was fine with it because I text my league source. And by the way, when that Dame situation gets wrapped up, y'all going to look at me like I've been saying since fucking day one. I text my league source and he was telling me, he basically gave me the lowdown. I was like, all right, cool. We good.
Yeah.
We good money.
Yeah,
man.
We straight, bro. Yeah.
So let's give one last offseason matter before we talk about how this team should actually look on the court.
Okay.
It's Laurie Marketing situation, man. I feel like Laurie kind of played himself, dog. Like, he played himself. Last year to me was like his last chance to really show us if he had any value to this team, and he did not do shit. And I think the annoying thing about Laurie is the talent is there. We have been saying that shit for years. He just never, like, he had a couple games. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, him and Ed, like this little month and a half where him and Zach was going like 30 for 30 each. And we said, oh, could this be a glimpse of the future? And he just never really took that next level. And now, since he didn't take the minimal exception, there's really not any other offers over him, especially to be a starter, which he wants to do. And the ball's actually in the Bulls' court right now. They're going to be able to get something for him in a sign and trade. I don't think there's any way that we see him coming back, especially with how vocal he's been about wanting to have a new scenery and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just, we just got to wait for this tampering thing to end so we can finally get that done. Because, we have three roster spots. I would like to see AK go after Paul Millsap. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think he'd be a great addition to this team. He's got that Denver background with them, you know what I'm saying, with AK. Yeah. And so we're just really waiting for that to clear up, man. But I just really feel like it's one of those situations where when you bet on yourself, like it worked out for Jimmy Butler when he bet on himself. Mm-hmm. It worked out for all these different players, but didn't work out for Dennis Schroeder.
Because they put the work in. Yeah,
right. It didn't work out for Dennis Schroeder. It didn't work out for Lauri Markkanen. So what you think about, you know, how he handled that situation and what he thinks how it's going to conclude?
I honestly think that he had the wrong mindset going into it, because I think that Lauri probably, you know, and I'm on record since day one saying that we drafted a great player.
Yeah.
I adopted Lauri Markkanen as one of my sons, even. Like he's talented, you know, and that's where the frustration comes from, because we're not mad at him having a bad game if we think he's like a bad player. We know that he's a good player that has potential to be maybe great if he put the work in, right? So what I think is going on is that, or how he played himself, I should say, is he checked out of the situation, so he checked out of doing the work too. And that's what you can't do. You can check out of the situation and you can be done with the Bulls, but still put your talent on display and let people know that you still care about the game. Because if it's that easy to rattle you and you don't care about the game no more because you don't care about the team you're on, you're not ready to be a superstar. You're not ready to be a star even. You're not even ready to be a guy that's, you know, can be counted on in clutch moments, because your mental is so easily, you know, rattled because of that reason. I personally feel like there's a deal tentatively done. I think there's probably a deal already. We're just waiting for this shit to clear up. I think there may be, I'm going to go out on the limb and say there's maybe two or three deals that AK and Mark Eversley are waiting on, like it's on them to accept the deal or not. I think there might be two or three teams out there that are waiting on the Bulls to say yes or no on this, and they all understand this business, and you have to go through the investigation process.
And of course, they're in contact the league. So I think the team has no idea when this be wrapped up. But I do feel like it's interesting that Millsap hasn't signed anywhere yet.
See, right.
You know what I'm saying? And Millsap is not a bad player. Like, so you would think the team would
contribute.
Right. So it's got my antennas up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So that's something to pay attention to.
We're on the same page. Yeah, we definitely on the same page with that. I agree.
I'm really eager. Once they wrap this shit up, man, I'm really eager to see how we fill out those roster spots. Because I feel like right now, the only real question mark is depth. You know what I'm saying? We need to get some more bench pieces. Because if you look at the people that left, the only ones who I'm like upset we had to get rid of, but you know, you have to get rid of those, get guys like we got, is Thad and Daniel Tice. You know, I really, really like those guys. Those really, they play defense. And the crazy thing about our defense is this too, is like as bad as it was, this is a 12th ranked defense last year. And then after the All-Star break, and in fact, in this that Zach missed 15 games, it was a top 10 defense, which is crazy when you think about it, but the numbers do not lie. So if you look, you got guys who can legitimately lock up in Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball, you know what I'm saying? And this is actually a great segue into our next point, Pat Williams, you know what I'm saying? To me, the ceiling of this team will be determined by how good Patrick Williams becomes to be. My son, who I love, Patrick Williams. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of you like to do the Kawhi comparisons, but stop with the Paul nickname. I can't stand the Paul nickname. You know what
I'm saying? I don't like it either.
Like, do it like as in, you know, give him his own project. Pat is a good one. You know what I'm saying? P-Dub. We ain't got a fucking, you know, the Paul. That shit is terrible, bro.
It's demeaning, man. It's like, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. The Paul.
Man. But it's like, so what are we expecting from him in year two? You know what I'm saying? Because he looked crazy in summer league to the point where there was it's been three games. He looks good. Send that nigga home.
Yeah, send him home. I think that we can expect a player that's more sure and more confident about his game, because I think a lot of what he's doing is that he just doesn't know what he's allowed to do yet.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times he looks hesitant, not because he can't do it, but because like the coaches might've told him one thing based off what they think his trajectory is or what they think his role is right now. So he may just have been a little, like it may have been like some nerves, right? Like, I don't think he's nervous because he didn't put the work in. I think it's the opposite. I think he put all the work in. He like, damn, should I
shoot more?
Yeah, like, what should I do? And that can create the missed shots. Or I do think the one thing that if I could nitpick for a second is his pick and roll defense.
Yeah, because that's like
I seen a little bit of times where like he tried to go under where it wasn't really a lane for him to go under, and he went over where he clearly shouldn't have. So but he's a young guy. He's the NBA is different. He's 19 years old. 19. So like I said, I'm just nitpicking. I don't want anybody to take what I'm saying. Like, I love him. Love Pat Williams a lot. I think year two, what the coaches are going to do when they have like their one-on-ones with the players that they, you know, do before the season or whatever. I think that they'll probably let him know, listen, you are a part of this team. You are an important part of this team. If you feel like doing something, do it and see. If you fail at it, we can talk about it later in practice when we look at film, but do it though. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we should see more confidence, more assertiveness, more of him kind of like being a point forward, directing the offense with that, you know, with whatever unit he's a part of, whether he's starting or whether he's still in when the subs come in. I think that like more leadership, you know, more assertiveness.
I think I agree with you on that. You know, one thing I think is going to really benefit him, and one thing I did love, he said, like in one of his summer league interviews, that DeMar reached out to him, mm-hmm. which you can already see, which is great. And DeMar was actually at the summer league game with you know what I'm saying? Was it who's the my man who we got from Washington?
Wait, he's a scorer too. Yeah. He's a scorer.
I forgot his name, man.
No, we might gotta do.
We gotta Google my man name. Was it
some real podcast shit and like look it up right now? Let's see. It is Troy Brown.
Troy Brown. He was at the game with Troy Brown, and you know Troy, I think is gonna be a nice little bench addition too. I really liked when he's playing last year when they were actually playing the nigga, and thank God Denzel Valentine's on this thing. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't take more of him playing over Troy Brown. But, you know, for having him out there, I think it's going to be less pressure on him too, because now he has three all-stars he's playing with, you know what I'm saying? With Zach, with DeMar, and with Vooch. And I think it's going to take a lot of pressure off him. And I think it's really only going to show that he can take this to the next level. It's going to give him kind of a more of a freedom to where people are not really going to be paying attention to him when they do their little game plans, other teams. It's going to be like, how the fuck are we going to stop DeMar, Zach, and Vooch? You know what I'm saying? And right. he's going to slip right under the radar. Absolutely. And if he's great, if he takes a big leap, this takes the Bulls maybe to Eastern Conference Finals level.
It changes everything about our future, because like now we're set on like free agency, but like now we might have a guy who's already what we need. So it's like, oh shit. Let's not worry about free agency. We already have the guy right here, because it's similar, you know, and obviously he draws the Kawhi Leonard comparisons, but think about Kawhi Leonard when he came into the league. Nobody looked at Kawhi
they don't look at him now.
He wasn't big Y when he came into the league. He big Y now, you know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, not to like just do that, you know, put that on him, but I think he can be a player like that where it's like, damn, nobody saw this coming. Even when we drafted him, those who watch college basketball know, right? Like, I got shout out to my man Mandalay J. Like, I got dudes that's in the loop that tell me, shout out my man Just, that put me up on these guys. They put me up on them during the regular season, you know, during college, and I watch them here and there. And I make sure I keep them on my radar. So when you see a guy like Pat Williams, it's like, no, he didn't just get good right now. He's been, you can see it coming. The Bulls just made a great pick. That's just what it is.
Yeah, and I just, the sky is the limit for this dude, man. I'm just really, really excited to see his evolution. I do think he's going to be he can be a contender for most improved player. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he has that, you know, that Julius Randle type year, like Julius Randle had, like, not the playoffs. I don't want to play like Julius in the playoffs, but like in his regular season type year. And I think this is going to really expand the horizons on his team, man. Now, there's been a lot of criticism about how this team is going to work offensively. And I think a lot of people aren't understanding about this is Zoe is not a shooter. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to take possessions away from Zach and DeMar and Vooch. If anything, he's going to give these three easier buckets. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And DeMar averaged 6 assists last year playing on the fucking Spurs.
On the Spurs,
who the
dog.
Fuck is on the Spurs, dog? Like, who is he giving these 6 assists to? So, and that gives you a little bit more move. He can come in and you can switch. You know what I'm saying? You can give Zach more time on the bench resting when you've got a DeMar and vice versa. And I think this is something that's going to pay off tremendously. You know what I'm saying? And this is a team, if they click, can be one of the best offensive teams in the East.
We shouldn't be any lower than like a top four seed in the East.
To me, the bare minimum for this team, we talked about this before these acquisitions happened. You have to at least be a 60. I don't want no play-in. But I think this team can legitimately be in the conversation for the 4 or 5 seed. Like,
we should be.
The big three in the East are the champions, Milwaukee, the Brooklyn Nets, and I think you probably have to put Philly in there by default. Yeah, by default, I'll probably put Philly in there. 4 through 6 can be anybody. Like, I think us, the Knicks, the Heat, you know, the Celtics, anybody could end up on that spot. So to me, they're right there. And I really feel like people are underestimating just how good Zach LaVine is too. Look at Zach LaVine's numbers playing with some of the worst niggas in the NBA last
year. I've seen so much Zach LaVine hate. Oh my God. Even when he like willed us to some of those wins, you know, to get the gold medal. Let's not discount that part because
He sparked DeRozan, a lot of those runs.
And DeRozan talked about that. DeRozan said, think about the confidence that, you know, Zach is going to have coming back from playing with the Olympics. You know, and even like I saw a stat about his win streak. It went on like a 4-game win streak.
That's the first time since college.
Like, dog, that's what we can do and what we have to do in order to establish a real for real culture and like a playoff kind of like caliber mindset is string together those 8-game win streaks, those 10-game win streaks, even 4 or 5-game win streaks do a lot for confidence. I mean, that's just what it is. So I think that the team that we have assembled right now, we can do that. Yeah. We really can.
And you know who's really under the radar, which is crazy. Nobody's really talking about Vucevic. Like,
and that's the
even if you look at these photoshops, it's just Zoe, Zach, and DeMar. I'm like,
he's a walking double.
We got a 22-12 guy
that can still get you like 2 or 3 blocks. It still gets you still do the dirty work. Like, he's a 2-time all-star.
And like, before Zach got on the COVID list, they were finding some chemistry.
Yes,
the pick and roll with them is finna be disgusting. And they have chemistry together. They were these guys were college teammates.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's just, man, I just can't wait to actually see this team on the court, man. I really feel like it's gonna be really exciting to watch.
I'm ready. I'm ready like right now, though.
Like let's TV. Let's just talk about it. Let's go to our schedule, man, and pick key matchups, man. I'm going to name the national TV games. Okay. The Bulls have 11 national TV games. Now, they will not be on opening week or Christmas Day. I didn't care about the Christmas Day missing. This is the reason I didn't care about the Christmas Day snub. One, I have no problem enjoying my food and my alcohol on Christmas without being nervous for 3 hours watching my fucking team. I'm mad as hell that the Bears are playing on Thanksgiving for like the third fucking year in a row. So that but I did have a problem with us not being on the opening week schedule. I had a problem with that because I feel like you should take advantage of one of your big markets and put them on it. And y'all got to stop putting the fucking ball Celtics on national TV, bro.
Man, listen, dog. Fuck them niggas, man. For real, I ain't even going to hold my tongue on that one, dog. Like, what do they do to deserve this?
Like, they are bottom
eight. Except beat Boston. Like, yeah, because Larry Bird made some shots left-handed one game. So what? And it's 2021. Like, cut it out.
Just because KG didn't won a championship 13 fucking years
ago. Yeah, like, nigga, cut it out. Man, niggas ain't repeat. Nigga, they just got one ring, man. Cut it out.
So let's take a look at some of these national TV games. Our first national TV game will be November 8th on NBA TV. We'll be at the crib against the Brooklyn Nets. Going for it. I don't know. I just hope it's a close game.
That's
my championship pick if they stay healthy. November 12th will be on ESPN at Golden State. Now, this will only be against Steph Curry because the Warriors said the Clay will not be there. They're not expecting him to be back till Christmas.
Okay.
November 15th on NBA TV will be here in Los Angeles, Staples Center against the LA Lakers, man. We're going to see Russ, Bron, and AD. Then on NBA TV, December 2nd, we head into the Garden for the first time this year. You know what I'm saying? And that will be against the Knicks. And then
I don't know about you, but these Knicks games have become way more intense to me since that. What was that game that Melo hit the 3 on Luol Deng? Was that Valentine's Day?
That was Easter.
Listen, dog.
I was in my granny house pissed.
Ever since that game, me, Mari, myself, right? Look at me. I've gave a fuck about every Knicks game since then. I don't care how bad or good they are. Fuck it.
And now both teams are good. So that's going to be even more intense, man. So that'd be December 2nd. December 27th in Atlanta to play a team that went to the East Conference Finals last year, the Hawks, on NBA TV. Then we've got January 12th. Versus Brooklyn at the crib again. This time be on ESPN. We play on Dr. King Day in Memphis on TNT. The TNT Bulls are back. Now, of course, we're not technically back because I was made aware by Bulls Twitter that TNT Bulls is the home streak.
Yeah.
It's the home streak. So, yeah. So, they're back on TNT with the quote-unquote TNT Bulls. We probably got to wait a year. We'll be going up against the Jordan boys in Memphis. February 7th on NBA TV, we'll be in Chicago playing the Western Conference champion Phoenix Suns. February 9th on ESPN. We'll be heading to Charlotte. Brother versus brother. Lonzo versus my man.
LaMelo.
My man LaMelo. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be a good game. March 4th at the
crib. It's my birthday.
Even better. Even better. So March 4th at the crib on ESPN against the NBA champions, Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh,
March
yeah.
18th at Phoenix on NBA TV. And then our last national TV game for the playoffs start, because we will be in the playoffs.
Yes, we will be.
April 5th at home against Milwaukee. Again,
if so we didn't make that clear, we will be a playoff team.
We will be like, a playoff team.
You niggas, y'all listen to this. I know y'all got the little fancy apps. You can clip it and you can record it. Yeah, I know. We're going to be a playoff team.
We're going to be a playoff team.
Book that right now.
So out of any of these games, and of course, there's any more if you want to point out on the schedule, which one is like something that stand out to the one you can't wait to see?
Oh, the Nets, easily. I think without question, it's going to be the Nets because they're the measuring stick of the league.
Which is crazy because Milwaukee's the champion.
Yeah, I was just about to say, even though Milwaukee is the defending champs, it's like, yeah, we know what Milwaukee is, but we know what if you wake the dragon up over there, if you wake that dragon up at full strength, we know what they can be, so we still have to measure ourselves against them because Kevin Durant is still the best player on the planet, in case anybody forgot. You know, to me, anyway, let me say that is my opinion.
Yeah, we don't want Brian to hear this and get
we don't want nobody to get
upset the Wash King.
Yeah, you know how that go. But, you know, anyway, it's the Nets. But then immediately after that is the Knicks. Because like I said, like these games I care about because – playing against the Knicks does something to my soul.
It does something to me. We got so many New York homies. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, shout out to Josh, shout out to Ron, shout out to, you know, Kev, shout out to Joey, shout out to Lee. I can name off, you know, all my New York connects and all that. You know, friendship-wise, I don't want y'all to think I'm in some league.
You selling dope, right?
Yeah.
I'm at to sell sure. dope to get to Staples Center to watch the bullshit.
Listen, for real, dog. But the Knicks, for course. Like, what Mitch said, the Knicks, nigga. Knicks.
So, yeah, I'm with you. The Knicks is definitely one I got my thing circled. I think the ones against all the, like, the powerhouses, because I really want to see how we stack up against these teams. Yep. So I'm interested to see in Milwaukee. I'm interested to see in Brooklyn. But I really got my circled against the Lakers, man. I want to find a way to get to that game because we look at it, man. You got Lonzo from LA,
Caruso.
Former Laker. Caruso going against his former team, DeMar from Compton.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And even though Zach's not from LA, he went to UCLA. So there's a lot of ties here. Anthony Davis, Chicago nigga, even though we don't claim him because he's a Packer fan.
He root for the Packers.
You know what I'm saying? But he's from Chicago. You know, THT from Chicago, Simeon. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of storylines.
Yeah.
And just anytime, I love going against LeBron when we actually have a team that's worth a damn. That's why that's exciting to me. I'm looking forward to the Dr. King game. I think that'd be fun to see one of my young boys, Ja. It's just going to be good to see that we actually have matchups look good.
Ja is incredible, yo.
Ja is
one of those players that if he goes off against my team, I'm not mad at him because I still like him. The next game he play, I'm going to watch him and I'm going to support him because that's just Ja. You know what I mean? We don't get those type of players often, so we have to cherish these Ja moments.
Have a great game in lieu. That's how it was Kobe's whole career. All y'all know Kobe is like, Mike is
give
my
us 70
1A.
Points and lose.
Exactly. Yeah. Mike is my 1A, Kobe my 1B. I remember going to the games in the Baby Bulls day. Like, you know your team stink when you go look to see what niggas is coming in. To see what game.
Right. No, dead ass. You're like, wait a minute. Oh, they come. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, Kobe and Shaq in town. I'm going to that. So
your team is at the arena every night, but I got
Ron Mercer on the tickets and shit. Like, fuck
I'm
out
cool.
Here. So, you know, I would hope for Kobe to have a great game, but the Bulls still win. So it's kind of like that with Josh. So those are the games that kind of stick out to me, man. It's just gonna be good to see that team on national TV. Now, as we wrap this episode up. I want to talk about bold predictions, man. We're each going to give a bold prediction for this team. I'm going. Do you want me to go first or you're going to go?
Nah, you can go first. You can go first.
I'm going to make an extremely bold prediction that's going to make me look like either a genius or a fucking idiot. But I survived Cody Parkey, so you can't beat me.
Woo.
So I'm going to say this. I think the Bulls finish with the third seed in the Eastern Conference.
That's hard. That was hard. Make some noise for that. Make some noise for that.
And our drink champs for us. I say that because I don't trust Philly. We don't know how many games Embiid is going to be healthy. We don't even know if Ben Simmons is going to be on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I also say I think the first two seeds of the side is going to be Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And honestly, if Brooklyn keeps getting hurt, Brooklyn might fall to four. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say the Bulls going to finish with a top three seed. Okay. Also, I'm going to continue.
Let's do it.
The Bulls are going to have three All-Stars this year.
Ooh.
Only two. They? Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to say, all right. Lonzo will be an All-Star.
Okay.
Zach is going to go the second All-Star.
Yep.
Vooch is a shoe-in. Absolutely. For his third All-Star. DeMar is a fringe. There's a lot of nice forwards in the East.
Niggas so might get hurt, know. Though. So he might make it on the back
yeah.
end.
So yeah. I'm going to say at least three. And I'm going to say, I'm going to say we won 31 games last year.
Yeah. Let's do it. You better say a number because I'm going to say some shit crazy. I'm going to say something crazy.
I'm going to say 48. I'm going to say 40. I wanted to go to 50, but I'm not even too sure. I think I got the Lakers at like 53. So I'm gonna say 47, 40. I'm gonna say 48.
Guess what?
Go ahead. Talk to him.
Guess what I'm gonna say?
Go ahead.
50 games.
Woo! Talk to
minimum.
The 50 club. Minimum. He told some niggas minimum.
Curtis Jackson. ever heard of him?
Raising you know? Canaan, nigga.
50, even. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna say 50 games because I think that even last year we were way better than what the record reflected. Yeah, because sure. If you watch, you are what your record says you are, right? Cool, that's fine. But us watching the games, there were at least 15 games that for a fact that we had with 3 minutes left in the game.
And we blew them,
completely blew those games. So
and the 14 games that Zach missed at the end.
The 14 games that Zach missed. Let's add that, right? Let's do the math on that. That's
like 30 games.
That's 45 yeah. If you talk about only the games Zach missed.
Yep.
It's like 46, 47 if you talk about the games we just blew.
Even if you want to be fair, right? So let's just say we said 15 games, we blew 14 games that Zach missed. That's like 29, right. If my math serves me correct.
Right.
My Chicago public schooling serves me correct. Yeah. So let's just say we win 7 out of each. That's an extra 14 wins.
This is what I'm saying. Like we should have won an extra. We should have won 45 games last year. So I'm going into it thinking 45 games is what we should have won with the roster as
in a season that's 10 games less than this one.
And a season that's 10 games less than this one. Let's remember that too. So I'm going off of that logic. So if you're telling me adding DeRozan and a second year Vucevic that has a chance to go to training camp and really build with the team, and you adding Lonzo. You bringing Zach back from the Olympics and you think that we're not good for at least 7 more games than that? Give me a break, bro. I was going to say 52, but I'm going to say 50. I'm going to say 50 games minimum. And I'm going to say, damn, dog. I want to say something crazy.
Go ahead. This is preview pod. Like, we can be wrong. Who gives a shit? Fuck it. This is recorded in August. We still got a month. We still got like a month before training camp starts.
We going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh! So I wish I had the flex. Yo, designer, flex, Brooklyn. Everybody can't come up here.
You hear that? That's them. Fucking bars. You don't know nothing about bars. That.
Okay, you got
the conference finals.
Against who? Complete it. Against who?
Against whoever.
It don't matter, nigga. Bring
it don't even matter. Nah, but I'm gonna be respectful, and so I'm gonna say Milwaukee. I'm gonna be respectful to Milwaukee,
Brooklyn doesn't make the conference finals.
I mean, look, dog, Brooklyn, listen, if you niggas had a Zach LaVine, maybe, but we got a Zach LaVine.
We got a Zach LaVine. You don't.
We got a Zach, bro. You got a Kyrie, you got all that, but I don't know if Kyrie going to be like, yo, I saw the team eating processed food. I'm eating a natural
you
diet.
Also, right. You never know what he wants to do. Maybe he decides that he not fucking with sports this month.
He may figure out he not fucking with the nigga juice. And he saw somebody cracking nigga juice open. He can't travel with him. So you never know. Yeah, so handed. But if y'all had a Zach LaVine like us, then maybe you be, you know, maybe you could talk the shit I'm talking, but you can't. So, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's the thing we have with it. This is episode 15, man. This is our first one of the new era.
We back.
We back, man. We'll be back with our next episode in like a month, like around media day. Yes. I think we could do like a pod around media day, talk about comments, the media day, everything that's happened with that.
And but we are back though.
We are back. When the actual Please season starts, we're gonna be recording weekly.
Every weekly. Week. We on you. We on you.
We're gonna have guests. I'm trying to come up with some other segments for the show. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be a full out show. fleshed out show. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really
we're gonna
excited.
Talk, man. You know, Mitch, get out. We're gonna talk, man. Me, you know, me, all of them. We're gonna talk, man.
Definitely, definitely, bro. You know where to follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barb Chess Scott. You can follow the network, the Barbershed Network, at Barbershednet on Twitter and Instagram. Follow our Patreon, subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. I know we haven't had money. I know we haven't been consistent with our summer sessions, man. Like, I know it's my fault. Actually, it's not my fault. It's not my fuck that. It's
of course it's not. Yeah,
it's not my fault. I'm the Cal Ripken of Barbershed Network. I'm here, rain, sleet, snow, whatever. I don't miss a podcast. Blame my brother who thinks just because he's a Bears beat writer that he can't record on time.
Hey, I don't know, though. That nigga on ESPN. Nah, dog. You might gotta watch your mouth,
that nigga was on ESPN
dog.
And WGN in the same week.
Hey, man.
Talking crazy. Damien wants to go on fucking 50 vacations this fucking year.
Hey, man, listen, dog. I don't know a nigga living a better life than Damien right
this
now.
This nigga,
dog.
Damien, I'm gonna shut up for Damien. Take my Sunday ticket information. And Pavi, Mr. Bougie himself, this nigga covering every LA team. He's Stephen A. Smith by night, a rapper by day.
He definitely rocking the Scammer Time blazer too. Like, to Pavi. I told him
my
that too.
My nigga Pavi, only one wear a blazer in 80 degree weather.
Listen, dog, if it don't look like he about to scam you out of something, he ain't, you know what I mean? Like that, exactly. That he's not wearing it. He's not gonna wear it, you know?
But Summer Sessions will be back this week. Niggas is out here walking on crates. We gotta talk about it. So look out for that.
Yeah, man.
Now,
hey.
Mari, let them know where they can find you, man, about the Rap Names Pie, everything you got going
on.
Yeah,
bro. Nah, absolutely, man. Listen, dog, first and foremost, you can find me on Twitter at Mariano, 2 N's, 2 O's. Like I tell you, you know, your aunt, you know, she asked me for money. It just depends, though. It just depends. If you catch me at the right time, I'll Cash App or Venmo or something, Zelle or something, you know what I mean? Hit me on Twitter for sure. Hit me on Instagram at Mariano Bivens. And weekly, you know, every Sunday, Rap Names Podcast is out. Last episode we did with Josiah. Shout out to King Josiah. You know what I'm saying? That's the bro from way back. Other than that, man, listen, dog, like, you know, the Point Guard Pod, you know, if y'all ain't tapped into the Point Guard Pod,
tap in the Point Guard. Shout out to the Slick family, man.
Shout out to the Slick family, BD, you know, man.
Everybody over there, man.
And I know I'm on this with the Chicago nigga. I don't want that to get confused with gang ties.
Oh, yeah, no, not them niggas. Not them niggas.
We talking about Baron Davis.
We rep the folks.
I ain't affiliated.
This is a GD sponsored network.
Yeah, they didn't let the GDs through the dough. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Ruger, man, you know, but yeah, man, but shout out to BD, shout out to Baron Davis and everybody over at Slick. Tap into the Point Guard Pod. You know, it's new shit coming every single week, every Wednesday. But other than that, though, man, you know, yeah, like I said, we back, man. You know, it's been a minute since y'all heard us talk about the third pick, but we back, and it's gonna be a staple in your rotation. If you Bulls Nation, or if you know somebody that's Bulls Nation, spread the word to them and let them know where they can find us, man.
Yeah, Mike and Marcus from Bad Boys are back, man. We are here.
Ooh,
and also on a slick note, follow H&B Media TV on YouTube. My show, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, which is every Thursday. We are
fire.
Back.
That show is fire. Listen, I ain't just saying this shit. I'm not just saying this shit because you on here, dog. You already know that. Like, I'm
glad,
nigga.
That show is
fire, bro.
I'm glad everybody enjoyed it, man.
Even the rundown, nigga. Like, even like how the rundown is set up. Like, that shit remind me of like
shout
the old
PTI.
ESPN news.
Yeah,
PTI, like that type
shout,
of shit.
Shout out to Wilbon, Kornhouse. Nope. I used to watch some niggas as
my
kids,
nigga.
Man.
I'm glad you said that.
I'm glad you said that. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta give a shout out to my producers, you know. Thomas, TPJ, Paz,
TPJ,
producers.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we're back in the studio now, because which is Studios Paz's house. Breaking the fourth wall. Breaking the fourth wall here. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people didn't know we had to do webcam for a couple weeks, you know, Delta.
Yeah.
You know, Delta tried to take my boy TPJ out, but he's back on you niggas.
Boy,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so we're back
sure.
in the studio. We back. I got a lot of shit to say about Matthew Nagy. I'm not off your ass, nigga. I got more. this week. So tap in with that, man. We out. We see y'all in a couple weeks for Media Day and Training Camp, man. We out.
Yeah.